We welcome you to this commencement ceremony for the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary for the graduating class of spring 2014. Commencements come and commencements go. There will be thousands of graduation ceremonies around the world this season, and each will mark an important turning point in life. We've become so accustomed to these transitions and the need for marking such occasions that many schools now hold something like commencement for kindergartners ready for the first grade. Still, there is something momentous about a formal commencement ceremony in an institution of higher learning. Before us today, you see a host of graduates in all their array, a distinguished faculty in all their regalia. Any passerby would know that something important is going on here, and most would recognize the basic structure of the event. Degrees will be awarded, pictures will be taken, hugs will be given, congratulations will be extended, and all the pomp and circumstance will be observed. Then what? To the average observer of an academic graduation, that just about sums it all up. The gowns will be put away, the programs will be filed for memory, the degrees will be hung on walls, and life goes on. That is where this commencement differs from so many others. Most graduates are sent out into the next phase of life, learning, and profession, encouraged by the congratulations and qualified by newly held degrees. But those who graduate from this school today, though rightly congratulated, are being sent out to put everything they have, everything they are, everything they have learned, and everything they hope for on the line for mission and ministry in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Central to that task for most of those who are graduating is the preaching of the Word of God. Central to that task for the church in all times, in all places, under all conditions, is preaching as that task. The Bible presents an astonishingly simple method of preaching. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, we read that Ezra and his fellow preachers read from the book, from the law of God, clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. There is no calling as majestic as the Christian ministry. And yet the central task of ministry is breathtakingly uncomplicated. We read the Bible aloud. We read it clearly. And then we explain what we have read so that hearers understand the meaning. Of course, no one said it was easy. This is an arduous calling, but it is incredibly simple in design. The most amazing thing about preaching is the fact that God chose to use human mouths for his message. It is astonishing that God has willed that the earth shall hear his voice by means of the human voice. The reformer Martin Luther put it this way: thus, when you hear a sermon by St. Paul or by me, you hear God the Father himself. And yet you do not become my pupil, but the Father's. For it is not I who is speaking, it is the Father. Nor am I your schoolmaster, but we both, you and I, have one schoolmaster and teacher, the Father, who instructs us. We both, pastor and listener, are only pupils. There's only this difference, that God is speaking to you through me. That is the glorious power of the divine word, through which God himself deals with us and speaks to us, and in which we hear God himself. In this light, perhaps the most clarifying way to understand the preacher's task is to consider its most quintessential act, the opening of the mouth. Consider with me the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 30 through 43. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. So Peter opened his mouth and said, truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. So Cornelius, a Roman centurion, receives a message from God in which he is told that he is to find three men and he is to seek out Simon, who is now called Peter. As the text unfolds, Peter, having been invited, indeed summoned by the Spirit of God and by the invitation of Cornelius into Cornelius' home and to address his household, finds Cornelius addressing him and saying, "We are gathered here in the presence of God to hear all that God has commanded you." The context is one of the most significant turning points in the book of Acts. The text explains not only how Cornelius came to be saved, but how we, the Gentiles, can be saved. This came after Peter had received his vision and heard the voice from heaven declare, "What God has made clean, do not call common." Peter was commanded to follow three men who took him to the house of a Roman centurion, Cornelius. And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who was well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say." Notice carefully that Peter is told that Cornelius was directed by an angel to hear what Peter has to say. When Peter arrives, Cornelius declares to his entire household, "Now therefore we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord." This is one of the most powerful teachings in Scripture about the proper disposition of a congregation. This congregation may have been relatively small, but it was ready to hear a word from the Lord delivered through God's preacher. Just imagine if every congregation awaited every sermon with such an announcement. "Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord." Imagine the expectation that statement reflects, the faithful eagerness that statement projects. They were gathered to hear and to receive and to believe all that God would command his preacher to say. So Peter opened his mouth. That is the very next verse. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality." So Peter opened his mouth. That is the essential act of preaching reduced to five earth-shaking words. So Peter opened his mouth. In his commentary on Ephesians 6, 19 through 20, Peter O'Brien notes, "The expression to open the mouth appears in context of solemnity where a grave or important utterance from God is about to be made." We can imagine no more important utterance than this: "Salvation is for the Gentiles too." This phrase is used in the Old Testament as well with reference to prophetic utterance. In Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 2, the prophet says, "So I opened my mouth, and he gave me this scroll to eat. He was to eat the word, then preach the word." In Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 22, Ezekiel explains that he was ready to preach when God opened his mouth, "And so my mouth was opened." So Peter opened his mouth. He obeyed the call. He fulfilled his calling. He did not remain silent or hide. He opened his mouth and declared to all that God had commanded him to say. He declared to all that God told him to preach. Paul once asked the Ephesian Christians to pray, in his words, "that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly." And what did God command Peter to speak? That everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins through his name. That everyone who believes in Jesus receives the forgiveness of sins through his name. Everyone, Jews who believe in Jesus, receive the forgiveness of sins through his name. Gentiles who believe in Jesus receive the forgiveness of sins through his name. Peter had declared the story of Jesus, who went about doing good and healing, but was put to death by hanging him on a tree. God raised him up on the third day, and after appearing to many witnesses, he commanded the apostles to preach the gospel to all nations, to all people. The Christian ministry requires courage, and we can see even more courage required in the near future. There may well be a higher price exacted for opening our mouths, but God has called us to open our mouths so that others can hear his voice, may believe, and be saved, so that his church will be fed and taught and matured. Can you imagine any higher calling than that? As we come to commencement for the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in May of the year 2014, we recognize the grandeur of this occasion because of the importance of the callings represented here. We reflect upon the gathering of ourselves together here not merely as a ceremony that is understandable in the academic world, but as a service of worship that is dedicated to the glory of God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the hope of his church. And as we look upon these graduates, with a common heart, with gospel urgency, standing upon the centuries of faithful preaching that have come before us, standing upon the rock of the gospel as preached by the apostles, and standing before the future, we say to those who are gathered here on this day in this place, go ye into all the world and open your mouths. Praise be to God. Amen.